Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought, a recent message. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you to please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, 10 o'clock.
And so we looked at all 10 of the provocations. That's why it's called in the provocation. But the 10th one was the final one in the provocation. So in your notes, and just before, we're going to be in section 4 of your notes. But let's turn your Bibles for a second. Even after they provoked the Lord, and the Lord told them, your carcasses are going to die in the wilderness, your children are going to go in, don't go into the wilderness, you're not going into the promised land, you would think they would not provoke the Lord again. But turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 16. This is after 13 and 14. So this is the start of them wandering in the wilderness. And we have Korah and Dathan. Dathan's in the Bible. Dathan's name's in the Bible. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three men raised up about 250 princes of the Israelites, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. I'm in verse 3 of chapter 16, the book of Numbers. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. They're speaking to Aaron and Moses. And he spake unto Korah. Well, Moses fell, when Moses heard these words, he fell on his face, means he repented, or not repented, but he fell in the sense of remorse, crying out to God, seeking God and God's answer. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and he will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take ye censers, Korah and all his companies, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. So they separated themselves, they took incense, they put fire therein in the incense, and then we go to verse 21. Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Let's back up to verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel following him. Let's jump down. Let's go to verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Look at verse 30. Key. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, Sheol, into hell, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground claved asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And their houses and all the men that pertained unto the Korah and all their goods. And they and all that pertained to them went down alive into the pit, into hell, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now you would think they would have learned back at Kadesh Barnea not to provoke the Lord. But they go on after this and provoke the Lord numerous times. And so in section 4 of your notes, this provocation is rehearsed in the ears of Israel as a reminder. Nathan, if you want some notes, there's some notes back there on that table back there, or if somebody could get them for Nathan. He's got a set. But they're on the back table. Thank you. 40 years later, God rehearses. So we're in section 4 of the notes, Roman numeral 4. 40 years later, God rehearses the failure of Kadesh Barnea to the adult children of those who did not go into the land of promise. The book of Deuteronomy. What is the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy is a rewrite of the law. It is the law rewritten 40 years later, at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. Moses wrote this. It was basically his departing words. It was a summary of all that they heard from God up in Sinai. He basically was rehearsing the law with them. There's a law in Deuteronomy that tells the kings of Israel, and very interesting, what did God do after Israel came into the land in the book of Joshua? What did he set up as the governing system? Who was the king of Israel at the time when they came into the land? The Lord was king, and he had judges. And they went for about 400 years with judges. But the Lord anticipated they were going to ask for a king. And so there's a law in Deuteronomy that says the kings, when you have a new king, every time a new king comes, you make sure he copies the law. Means he has to make his own copy of Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy. That's considered the law, the Torah. That is the law of Moses, and it's the law of God. And so Deuteronomy is written at the end of the 40 years. It's a summary of events that took place, the law that was laid down, and a reminder of what took place. So look at Deuteronomy 1:20. Moses is writing, "And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of our fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of each tribe. Verse 24, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. This is rehearsing what we read in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. The Lord hate them? All that God did to the nation of Egypt and God hated them? Destroying the army of Pharaoh and God hated them? Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God shall go before you. He shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went until ye come into this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye shall go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. What is that good land? It's a picture of the kingdom to come for us. This illustration is important for us because Paul tells us this illustration is important for us in Corinthians and the book of Hebrews. It's not something to take lightly. It is vitally important in the scriptures for us to heed the warning. It's a warning to all future generations to come, Israelites and the church in the New Testament. So you have that in Deuteronomy. It goes on, you could read it on to 46. Look in your notes, second bullet point, Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. Again, Joshua rehearses what took place in the wilderness. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. These were God's people. They put the blood of the lamb from the Passover on the mantle of their doors. On the lentil is the top piece, the doorposts are on the side, that the destroyer would pass over them. They were saved. They were saved by the blood of the lamb. The Passover lamb was a type and a picture of Christ. The sweet psalmist of Israel is the first to use the term provocation and day of temptation to distinguish this event in Psalm 95. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Can God's people harden their hearts against God? Yes. It's absolutely factual that man, that believers, saved people, can harden their hearts against God in this dispensation and in the last. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my way, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Rest. Keep word there, key word, because we're going to look at more detail of what that word rest means. We see it in Psalm 106. It's in Psalm 106 in the Bible. Also, just quickly, let's turn there in your Bible, 106. See it also in 106. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't understand. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. How did you not understand? Darkness, Egypt in the middle of day. Egypt, except for Goshen, had total darkness. The Bible says it was so dark that a man sat where he was and didn't move because he couldn't see. He couldn't move. Can you imagine being so paralyzed by darkness that you couldn't move? They were paralyzed. The blood turning, the water turning into blood, the flies, the locusts, the hail, everything that brought great devastation, and then the death of the firstborn. And they couldn't understand. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. That was the great sin we talked about. No, excuse me. That was at Mount Sinai. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated him and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Goes on. Read it. Go back and read it. We don't have time. Stephen, the first martyr in the book of Acts, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament, he rehearsed these things. Remember, he gave a huge dissertation to those Jews that hated him and were ready to stone him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the first deacon, one of the first deacons that was chosen by God, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached a great message before these Jews, and they, how did they reward him? They stoned him and sent him, and we see that Jesus stood at the throne of God, and Stephen saw that Jesus was standing at the throne, not sitting, but standing at the throne of God. And he cried up, receive up my spirit, take up my spirit. They put him to death. It provoked them so much. 900 years later, Israel would not learn from their past mistakes, nor heed the warnings that we've read in the Psalms. How many times do you think they've read those psalms or heard those songs being sung? We've lost the tunes to those hymns. Maybe Connie can dig it up somewhere for us. But man, archaeologists haven't been able to recall the hymns, the music that goes to those hymns. But they must have heard those words. But it didn't sink in. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. Chapter 32, for the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. Now, here's a way to understand chronology in the Bible. Year one is creation, okay? 2,000 years from creation is Abraham. 1,000 years from Abraham is David. Okay, and then 1,000 years from David is when Christ came. Okay, so just give you, but Israel was a nation for 900 years. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord, for this city hath been to me as a provocation of my anger. What city is that? Jerusalem. And of my fury from the day that they built it. They built the city of Jerusalem under King David and Solomon. Solomon built the temple. King David removed the Jebusites out of the land and walled the city from the days, so that's about 450 years earlier, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. Provocation, that's where we get the word provoke from, provocation. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So what did Israel do? Constantly, over and over again, over again, over again, over again, provoke the Lord. Entrance into the land of promise is a type of rest. The kingdom age, we'll learn that, is a type of rest. It's a rest. 600 years in the picture of 6 days of creation, God created. 6,000 years, man has occupied the earth. But the seventh day was called the Sabbath day, right? In the creation account. For the Jew, they always rested on the seventh day, which is Saturday. In the seventh millennium, the 7,000 years, that is called the age of rest. That's the sabbatical rest that the Lord is going to bring to the earth. It means we're not going to war, and there's not going to be fighting, and animals aren't going to rip apart each other and tear apart each other. They're not going to be carnivorous, and they're not going to be a prey for one another. We've looked at that in Isaiah chapter 11. It's going to be a rest. All the war, all the instruments of war will be melted down and made into instruments of sowing, farm equipment primarily. Plows, it says plowshares. All the swords are going to be melted down into plowshares. It's going to be an agrarian age. It'll be a farming age. And there will be peace in the earth. And the same is spoken of this promised land. Look in Deuteronomy 12:10. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Okay, that's a rest, a type of rest. Deuteronomy 25:19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for what? An inheritance, to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Joshua 1:13, remember the Lord, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, has given you this land. That land is associated with the rest.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.